welcome to the Crazy Bird podcast. I'm your host, Violeta Kamińska, and I'm here today with a wonderful guest, Felix Blum, French-born sound artist and sound engineer. He currently works and lives between Mexico, Brazil, and France. He uses sound as a basic material in sound pieces, videos, actions, and installations. His work is focused on listening. It invites us to a different perception of our surroundings. His process is often collaborative, working with communities, using public space as the context within which he explores and presents his work. He is interested in myths and their contemporary interpretation, in human dialogues both with inhabited natural and urban contexts, in what voices can tell beyond words. His sound pieces have been broadcasted in radios from all over the world. He has been awarded with the Soundscape Prize for his last video piece,
Curupira Bishodomato, Curupira Creature of the Wood,
and the Pierre Schaffer Prize for his work,
Los Gritos de Mexico.
And there are so many more awards, but I feel embarrassed now to mispronounce all the names. So I'm going to add that you have participated in a lot of international festivals and exhibitions, well, basically all over the world. Well, I'm a huge fan of your work. So thank you for accepting our invitation and being here, you know, on our Crazy Bird, adding to a Crazy Bird family.
Hi, Crazy Bird. Hi, Violeta. Thank you very much for the invitation.
I came across your work first time a couple of years ago. And actually, I was looking for sound that I wanted to use. And I remember also was telling my students that they should look up freesound.org. There was a project we were working on. And I remember I came across your work. And I didn't know much about your work at that time. So I really enjoyed listening to different recordings that you uploaded there on freesound.org. But then what also captured my attention and encouraged me to look up more, you know, your work and read more about you and your art practice, when I read this sentence, and I'm going to read it because it's very special and unique. You said, most of my sounds are in CC. You are free to use them without any conditions. Some stuff in the world should be free. And as the wind and the air, sounds are free. So you are a poet too, I understand, because these are the words
really.
Of a poet.
I mean, that's a sentence I probably wrote maybe 10 years ago. So, but yeah, basically with this sentence, I think I want to first to use the internet or for collaborative project, but Freesound is mostly a collaborative project. And of course, there are a lot of collaborative projects on the internet, but I think that's for me important. And then the second thing is that this idea that maybe the sound recorder, I don't produce anything. I'm just recording sounds and I'm just in between sounds and other ears. So I'm just making the way or the signal between two different places or between one sound and one ears. So I like the idea that I could disappear, that the sound recorder could disappear maybe.
Oh, you are really a poet. That was beautiful. One thing you talk about, that one sentence captures a lot, I think. You said you wrote it 10 years ago, but this is very relevant to your work today still. And I think how you feel about the sound and about
way,
your work.
Probably Freesound became probably the beginning of the idea to share something and to not only capture things, because with the act of sound recording, we are like capturing things. Even if we're not capturing them because they're still alive, if we take them or if we record them, they're still living in the air or at some point. But for me, that was very strong, the idea to share this recording, to share those listening experiences. And it was first only with recording that I was mostly doing for other projects on sound shooting or some documentaries, films, where I was recording sound and then sharing the best one on Freesound. But slowly the idea to share things became, I think, the starting point of doing then like soundscapes or sound creation, and then later on to make sound installation or to make sound pieces. But I think in my work it's very important the willing to share something and to share in my case, mostly a listening experience. So in some way, the Freesound and the act of sharing, it's the beginning of my own or my personal practice.
Is there any connection? Oh, of course, there's connection because there's sound, but between the sound engineering part of your life and then the other part of sound installations.
Yes.
Was your sound engineering also related to natural sounds, sounds of nature?
Yeah, actually, I like to consider both as a one and only thing. In Latin America and South America, we're using the name of sonidista, which means somebody working with sound. And it doesn't mean you're working as a technician or as a sound artist and just working the sound as a material. And or like a painter is working with paintings, and you could be a painter from a building, or you could be an abstract painter. And so I like this idea to have a relation with material in itself, and to try to take out this frontier between which could be technician, what could be art or not. So I would say that definitely my background as a sound engineer is very important for me, and it's very important for me to have this double category of which could be sound art and what could be sound engineering. And I'm very interested what is in between, which is not really one or not really the other one. So I really like to be in between these both kind of works and to try to think it as only one. And actually, I started studying sound in a film school in Belgium. I mean, first in France and then in Belgium. And I started working a lot, mostly as a sound recorder for documentaries film. And then slowly, after the years, I started working for radio, for feature films, and then for video art. And that's how I discovered slowly, a lot of other possible use of sound. And lately, actually, in 2012, that's when I start to do the first sound creation, which was like a soundscape, like a small piece done of field recordings. And I start doing sound installation or working more on the installation in itself, or going a bit more than just a stereo piece 5 years ago, more or less, in 2015. So it's everything is kind of new for me. And I like to do new things in general. I like to do things that I've not done before, and to try to use the sound as a material. But maybe it's more about listening, actually, not that much about sound, but more about listening. And I think listening could, of course, it go more than just sound recording or field recording. The act of listening doesn't need anything; it just need two ears or even one. But the listening experience could go further than sound too. The listening can be to understand too, to try to connect with what you're listening to, or to try to listen, to consider which is around us, or some people living close to us, or some beings there. So I like the idea of this idea of listening.
And you often, I noticed in your biography or different digital platforms when your work is published, and there's a little bit of information of you, you often put, one of the things you put, a listener.
Yeah.
When you describe yourself, a listener. Yeah, you don't say, you know, the first thing you don't say, a sound recorder. You say a listener.
I came to listening through the sound recording. Yeah? I came to listening and to the sound. I came through my studies. Probably it was there since the beginning, but I wasn't I didn't realize. And what's very nice about listening is that we are all listening, even if we don't want to, we are listening. So most of the time, or a lot of time, we don't take it in consideration, or we don't describe ourselves as listeners, but we are all the time. And I really like the idea that before you make a recording, before you want to share something, before you want to capture something, you first have to listen and just to see what's you're listening. Because we could think that everybody is listening the same way, because and you are in a place and you all listening to the same place. But actually, our brain is always thinking of some sounds that we don't need, or that we don't feel it's important or useful. So we're all the time listening some sounds and taking out some other sounds. And that was something I'm really interested in. Or we are listening to the spaces, or we are reacting, or we are in communication or in dialogue with the spaces we are in. and how it goes through this listening, this act of listening or this listener experience.
You say that you are interested in myths and their contemporary interpretation. Where does this interest come from?
Well, I'm not sure. Actually, in most of my interest, that's something I can discover afterwards. When I see the recordings I've done, when I see the pieces I've done, I can see, oh, that's true. That's a few times, for example, I've been recording voices. I've been recording people screaming in some different places, and I've been interested by this. But it's more hard to know why I'm interested in myths. It's more than I start recording things and then I'm interested in some and not that much in others, and then I try to do something with it, or to do a piece, or to do videos, or to do an installation, and then so this interest for myths, I think I'm interested in the people believing in things, believing in something. And I think in Europe or in some part, we're not believing that much in something. And so I like the myth for this, for the people who tell us the myth. But I like the myth too, because I think most of them have a reason to be, or have appeared to explain something that we couldn't explain or we couldn't accept, maybe, for sometimes. So I think there is a lot of times there is a possible reason, or a few different reasons to have a myth or a legend or something. And that's mainly in this video piece I've done. No, it's 2 years ago. This one you mentioned, Kurupira Bicho de Mat, or Kurupira Creature of the Wood, which is in a small village in the Amazonian rainforest in Brazil. I just arrived there, and I spent there 3 weeks, arriving with my microphone and just saying, okay, I want to record the sound from the forest. And then I start spending a lot of time with the people living there, with the inhabitants of the small villages. And they start, after a week of 10 days, I start asking them a bit to tell me a bit the story of the village or their own stories. And that's how this specific legend of the Kurupira appear. And basically, it's a small creature which is living in the forest, which could make a sound that and when you listen to the sound, you could get lost. But at the same time, this creature could be like a protector of the forest. And if you're taking too much from the forest, if you're taking too much from the animals, then she will get you lost, or she will make something to protect. And that's one of interpretation. Of course, it's not the only one, but I really like this idea that that the nature could protect herself, or that could that you have to respect it, basically. And I find it very interesting in a small village where I don't have like environment concepts, or they're not concerning about ecology, or they don't know the names, but in some way they are taking care about the place where they are living. So I find it I found this myth in specific interesting, but in general I find myths are interesting, but what they can told us about a culture, a place, a situation.
Your work is about community. You are very much interested in that, and it's very obvious from all your installations how much you care about community, and also how much you care about places. And there is a big story behind. It's not just you go to a place and, you know, you just have an installation going. There's a reason. I think it's very careful. You give a careful consideration for location and for community in specific place. Is that true, or am I just making it up?
Actually, that's something that came out a bit without knowing. But when I started doing some installation a few years ago, I was always interested not only for the places, not only for a phenomenon or for a sound, but for mostly for the people and how the people are living a place, how they are interacting with the sounds coming from around. And all in some all this, the way of producing sound are related to the place or to the sounds from the place. So since the beginning, actually, I start being interested in the people. And most of the time when I go to a place, I'm very interested by the people living in for different reasons. I mean, I'm not sure if I know all the reason, but first, I really have the feeling to learn a lot from them and to learn a lot from their way of listening. And it's not an easy question to answer to. If you ask somebody, "Oh, are you listening?" he will say, "Oh, well, I'm listening with my two ears, and I probably listening the same thing as you." So I like to have this to learn from them on from them listening experience, and it could be through, for example, which are the sounds that which are important for you, or which are the sounds which make the sonic identity of your place. And so that's always I will slowly learn to me or share with me their way of listening. And that's some experience I've done in specific places, but sometimes I've done it with, for example, with specific people, like blind people in some places. And I really had this feeling of being exchanging or sharing something. And generally I came with my recorder and I teach them or I show them how I could record sound or we could use a microphone, basically what I know. But they give me or they share with me the way of listening in a place or the way, and in this case, for blind people, which are the sound which are interesting or not, which and how they are listening. And so that's in general, in most of the places, I'm very interested in this, in the relation between the people and the place they are living. And how it could, of course, go through sounds. And then, of course, when I make an installation, I always try to make it for a specific place. Most of the time, that's the case. And it means to make it for the place, but for the people living there too. Because I know most of the people who are living close to this, specifically if it's a public space installation, they will probably listen to it more than me. And so it's important that I'm not just coming from abroad, coming to put something and just leaving. For me, it's really important to make a communication with the people, to come with a project or with an idea, but then the idea will probably change. And that's something I really like too in the process, when something is surprising me, surprising the process, and trying to keep the first ideas as open as possible, so it became exciting for everybody. For me, it's not. I don't like to write that much a project or to make a lot of writing about it. I really prefer just to start from an idea. Of course, I do some tests, I do some research, but then I really like to be as much open as possible to change the project or to go somewhere else and to be open to all the idea of the people from the place. And that's something very important for me to, so I can still keep surprised by the project. And the projects go, I don't control anymore the project. And the project become from somebody else or from a place. And that's something I really enjoy.
Talking about projects, location, and community, and your installation, that being, you know, part of it. Two projects really, all of them stand out, but two in particular, I keep coming back to. And personally, you know, unfortunately, I cannot enjoy them being there and in person, hopefully one day. But right now, it's good enough for me to go to Vimeo or your website and just play it and watch it. And these are two. One is Rains of May. That's in Mexico, I think, right?
Yeah.
That installation. And then the other one is Rumors from the Sea. Is that in Thailand, for Binari?
Yeah, the second one is in Thailand. I mean, the second one has been done 2 years ago. And the one in Mexico has been done just a few months ago. It's from this. It's called Rains of May because it was done in May. So it's just a few months ago. I mean, I will start with the one in Thailand, which was done 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, for the Biennale of Thailand. And actually, they invite me to propose a project for the Biennale of Thailand. And first, so the proposal was to make some projects installation something in the natural places. It could be beaches, it could be island or rivers or countryside, but it should be in the nature. So first I said, oh, well, can I work with sound being in the nature? So I will need to have some players or loudspeakers or headphones. And so I need to have some energy and to get it maybe by solar panel or something like this. So first I was thinking on this. And then after a few days of just thinking about it, I say, okay, if they're inviting me to do something different, maybe I should try to do something really different and to start not using recording and not using speakers. And of course, as I am more mainly a sound recorder, of course, it was a bit of a challenge for me to say, okay, I study sound recording, I'm working with recording, but this time I could make a proposal without using any recording. So, and that's where I discover the switch, maybe from the sound as to the listening, to the links, or maybe the sound not only as a physical thing, but maybe as something that could you can produce. And so basically, the one Rumors of the Sea, I start, the beginning point was, in Thailand and as all over the world, the sea are growing and you have more and more, the sea level is growing and it's taking out a part of the coast of Thailand. So a lot of villages has to move away because the water is coming, and then so they move, and after a few years the water is still coming up. And so I was surprised, I was interested by this phenomenon and the way they protect themselves or they protect from this coastal erosion is using big bamboos, just like bamboo barriers in the middle of the sea, which are there to break the waves so they don't take that much of the coast. So I find it very interesting as an installation in itself, but at the same time, the climate change is such a big issue, such a big problem, and the sea level uprising, coming up, is a big, a world problem, a global problem, and I find it very poetic or very, very strong how they can start fighting such a problem with just a bamboo or a few bamboo stuck in the beach. But of course, if I do it, if because it's working, so there is a reason for it. So I start from these bamboo barriers, but I start to think how to make it sound or how to give a sound to this. And so I just decided to use those bamboo to take them to make them the hole inside and to put a flute on top of it. So it was like 150 bamboo flute, very long, from 6 meter high. And so the waves were going through the bamboo flute and pushing the air inside, which makes sounds from each of the flute. So the presentation was done in a small village, and for me it was important to connect with the community and with the people living there. So we make a workshop with the school, and they've done a few of the bamboo flute, which are on top of the bamboo on the installation. We've done a small video too with them, like a short film, and a few drawings that they've done about the installation and about their idea of how this bamboo flutes could be maybe something helping the humans or helping humans to fight this climate change. And so when you went to it was like a platform in the middle of this 150 flutes. And so you could listen to the flutes, and depending of the waves, it could be like a call, it could be like a crying, it could be like a singing. And of course, depending of your listening and your interpretation of it. And I really like how it was changing all the time, and people was asking when is the best time to visit the place. And you never know, because it depends on the waves. And sometimes the waves are lazy, sometimes they are very angry. And so it was always very different. And it was done like 10 days before the opening, and I was spending all the time or even some nights there, just listening to the small changes of the installation. And So it was very, it surprised me too, because when I start with a project, nobody really knew how it would sound or what it would really mean for the people there, or how it could work or not. So it was, surprising, and it was part of the Biennale those 4 months. Now there is a bit of documentation about what we've done with the children, and a small video of the place, and some sound recording too. And this was for the Rumors from the Sea. For the other one,
When I listen to Rumors of Rumors from the Sea, and I keep going back to it, I like to listen to it in the evening.
Yeah.
And or sometimes actually midday when I need a break, and I sometimes forget, about it, and then I'm like, I need a little break, and I'm thinking I'm going to listen to that piece, and I sit and watch it, and it's a meditation for me, but at the same time I'm watching it. I've never really heard whales in real life, only I've heard whales recordings online, but I can't help it, but I feel that whales are communicating. That's my interpretation. That's what I hear when each time I listen to it. And I do feel there's this feeling of nature, but something bigger talking. Well, because this is nature talking. But also that's really when I think of myths and how the stories come to life. So I feel like a story is being told. And I'm just a dumb human in a way, so I can't really decipher the story, but I'm really enjoying hearing it.
Yeah.
So that's something that I really...
In general, I like that project could have multiple interpretation, and that you could just go there and just, that sounds curious, or I like it, or something like this. But then you could spend a long time on the platform and just listen to this concept of flute. And just being listening to the flutes, or being listening to the waves, or maybe being listening to the nature in general. And even some people was just arriving on the places, and they saw the sounds were coming from very far away, even if there was a bamboo on them, because a lot of people went there without going to listen to a sound installation. It was going there because of fishing, or because of seeing the sunset, or a lot of local peoples. And I like the idea of that you're listening from very far, or you're listening from the sea, from all the sea, all the ocean is maybe in a way saying something. And then it, of course, it depends on the interpretation of each one. But I like in this specific case when all listening could be much more than just listening to sounds, and all this listening could be an understanding too. Trying to understand.
And it seems very complex in a way. So yes, we are listening to, so waves are really playing the concerto, but even the flutes were made by community.
Yeah.
Right? So that's like everything is so connected. So community in a way, it's like performance. Community is really active. It was actively involved in that installation.
Yeah, the community actually, and then the people who are building it, which were a group of people, of local people, which of course doesn't really understand what they were doing. But then we put the first flute, and I was very excited, but the people in a way too, because they said, "Oh, that's what we are doing. We're not doing a house. We're just putting some flute in the middle." And I was there, I spent the whole time with them. Of course, I couldn't really communicate with them, but it was very strong for me to just see what they were doing, and doing the same thing, or putting some flute. And then, in a way, the composition has been done by them, because they choose where to put the flute. Or maybe it was, of course, not really chosen, but they put it. So I like the idea that the composition has been written by the locals people, and the interpreters are the waves. In some way.
But fascinating. So now, how about Rains of May? Yeah. That's another one.
Almost the last one, actually. The last one I really finished as a sound installation, because then I've been working on other projects, on future projects, but not on sound installation. So that's, we could say that's the last one. So it was in a small village in Mexico, in the state of Veracruz, and I was there for a residency for a few months. Actually, I stayed there almost 3.5 months in total, which was for me a lot. In general, I don't stay that much, but I mean, it came out from this COVID crisis too. And actually, I learned a lot, and I really enjoyed the idea to spend so much time in one place. So basically, it finished as a small installation around a tree. It was a tree in the middle of the village, of this small village, which is around 200 inhabitants. And you have some drops falling from the branch from a tree, from the central tree. And all the drops are falling on small metal drums, which are on the ground, which are 39 metal drums, which represent each one 1 year of life of the tree, which is only almost 40 years. And on each one of those, you have the year, and then we have some reminding about this year, this specific year. And so it's an invitation to go under the tree and to just have a seat and just listen to the drops falling, or maybe in some way listening to the time passing, as like it's tempo. Each drop is different, each metal drum is sounding different, so the melody created is always different too. But at the same time, it's the idea to go in the memory of the tree and to go maybe to your own memories in some way, and to listen and to listen to your to your memories, to listen what you're remembering from the life of the tree or from your own life. And that's the work I've done. So I came with this first idea to make, at the beginning, it was the idea to listen to a tree crying, which is crying, and maybe is, to listen to his tears falling. But then I was lucky to have a workshop there at the residency. So to be able to make a lot of tests and testing with different things and drums and water and drops and this, and then I spend a lot of time with the people from the village, and first to understand what was the possible memory of the tree, or which was the importance of this tree in the middle of the village. At the beginning, a few of them were saying, no, we don't really like this tree is now very old, is we should cut it and put a kiosk in him. And then slowly we start taking care about the tree, and then at the end it was very different, because the tree was in the middle, but then you had all these sounds, and we put some lights on it too, so people from the other village were coming under their tree, and so they were very proud about the tree, and in some way the tree became like a bit of somebody. At the beginning, it was like, and then there was thinking, maybe I guess the tree is happy because he has some people, or maybe sometimes the tree is not happy, or it became like a human being, and this was very interesting. And of course, also the whole process was really done. In this case, I was actually supposed to work with the school there, but because of the COVID crisis, the school were closed, so I just spend my time under the tree and try talking with the people there. It was mostly old people, or people just having a rest and just there and chatting under the tree and getting a bit the history of the tree. And then I go to a lot of inhabitants. I try to get some recording of the village, of themselves and of the tree. And so I like all the memory from the tree became like the collective memory of all the village, but at the same time, this collective done about from some very individual memory sometimes. So you could have one year, it was like the water from the river which come out, or 1 year which was very dry, but another year it could be like one of them is had an accident or one of them has get married. And so you had some very different memories and thinking in the tree. And then so I start doing the project, and as it was this COVID crisis, I didn't add like a specific day to make the opening, so this was very pleasant too, because I start one day I arrive there, I start asking for some tools to one of the neighbors, and then another one give me a hand to take out some of the thing on the tree, and then we start painting the bench under the tree, and then another guy come with a tractor to put to make the ground more flat, and then the guy from the shop make me a specific thing to connect the water, and then the other neighbors give the water to put to connect it to the tree. And then another one say, oh, we should put a light on the church behind so it looks better. And so we put it. Another one said, okay, why shouldn't we make a projection of some picture from the history of the village? And that's how it came out. And then at the it was open during 10 days. And then they were saying, oh, we cannot take it out until people leave the place. So sometimes it was midnight and people were still there. Say, no, if people come here to see the tree, they have to take their time, they should take their time, and we only can take it off or take the drums out when people are leaving. So it was nice how it became their installation in some way, and how they became proud of the installation. And for me, it was very, very nice, of course, as an experience. And once again, I get a bit surprised about the project. I couldn't imagine this when I start thinking about this project, and it was very nice. Of course, I make a lot of friends too, and that's something important in general in this kind of project. And it was a very beautiful experience.
It also sounds like you come to a new place, and it sounds like you build trust of the community really quick.
Yeah,
because people must really trust you. They just get on board, and then they add even to your ideas. They just build. I think people are really proud in general of their land, of their place where they live. And if you show that, obviously you show interest in their history, in their stories. And I think that's when there's this like opening, hearts are open and people are inviting you into their reality and they trust you.
Yeah, I try. Yeah, I think you have to listen. You have to be open, actually. If you're listening some people, if you're listening things or you're listening stories, you have to be open to the other one and just to be receptive. Sometimes we have the feeling that the listening experience should be passive, but I like the idea to think that listening could be active too. And that when you really have somebody listening to you, or listening to something, then you became active. And that's what I try to do with people, just going there, not to talk that much or not... I'm not there to teach anything. I'm not just there. I'm just there to learn a lot and to be exchanging and to be open in a way. And the project try to be open too. So that's what I try to do.
These are amazing stories. And I know you said earlier that you are not really interested in writing that much because you just produce this, you create this wonderful installation that involves, actually it takes so much energy because there's involvement, connecting with the community. But I really think that I have a feeling that one day there's going to be some more writing involved because it's wonderful to learn more about the project because it's wonderful to see a video and to listen to the sound. But I think the stories are making it even more special, you know. Yeah. And all those stories they're just like really heartwarming.
Yeah.
So I imagine that there must be writing coming one day. There will be writing.
Yeah. When I was talking about writing, it was mostly actually to write the project before. I'm not that because sometimes to get funds or to get your project accepted, you have to write a lot. To say I will do this, you will do this, and then
it's more like a proposal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like to make short proposal just starting from idea and then to work on it, and then it became something else. Mm-hmm. Then I don't have the feeling I'm very good at writing, but then of course I'm sharing my experiences, I'm doing some presentation about the work, and I'm trying to put a lot what's possible on my website too, like the material. For example, in this case there is a book which was a memory from a tree, which was a book done for the tree which was below, and now it's in the village, the inhabitants are giving it from one to the other, where you have all the picture from the tree and its memories. So year by year, all the collected information. So I try to put as much as possible different documentation of a project. And once again, I like that you can get the project in 30 seconds. You can just look the video and understand, okay, it's some drops falling, but you could go in the project for 1 hour and start going in the idea of the tree and going to, or sometimes I put some interview or some other picture of the documentation. I try to put more material so that if people really want, they can go through.
When I watched the tree project, Rains of May, and I read about it. What happened to me when I walk, I always watch trees because I'm looking for birds in the trees. I know they are sitting somewhere there. So what happens, sometimes I think of that story and then I translate it to the tree that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
There's no installation there, but I'm just wondering about that tree, about the history and memory. And sometimes I wonder about people standing by the tree and their history. There's an installation, but it doesn't end with that piece. I think it changes our relationship in general with nature. Like overall, we start paying attention. Yeah, I think we're more observant. And like you say, I think it also, we are more willing. I'm interested in listening.
Yeah.
And there are no words. The tree is not telling me anything, but I can see that if there is wind, I can see the movement of the tree, right? So I always think that the tree is like happy or miserable. There's lighting, but I'm wondering about the story behind it.
Yeah.
So I think.
So that's what I try to do, actually, to share the listening experience, but more than just one specific place, one specific sound piece or one specific tree. It's to try to change a bit the listening experience of the people, and to that this listening could go further than just the moment where they're listening to a sound piece or the moment they are in a sound installation. And actually, if you say there is a way maybe to change this way of listening, then maybe we don't need any more sound pieces or sound installation. Maybe it's just about a relation with our surroundings or the nature around us.
That might happen, but I don't think it's going to happen soon. So I think you have a lot of work to do.
Some work, probably.
Yes, it's a lot of work. So, Felix, I know you mentioned, COVID-19 already has affected your work and your plans. Are you currently working on some sort of installation or art piece? And what's coming up?
Yeah, so I it has been affecting my plans, but actually, as a lot of things are generally affecting my projects, and actually I'm looking for all the surrounding, all the situation, or some things could affect the project. So in this case, I was very lucky because, I mean, of course it changed my plans, but it still makes them possible, and it still make like a very nice project or still surprised me. So it was not frustrating in my case, and it was very nice. Then, of course, a few projects has been cancelled or postponed for later. I hope that next year it will be possible. But right now, there's still a project which has been confirmed, which will be I'm going in a week, more or less. I'm going to Belgium, in the north of Belgium, in the frontier, at the border between Belgium and Holland. And I will make a project. It's a sound installation too. It will be done in a pine wood, in a small village. And the proposal is to install there 12 doors, 12 old doors that we already collect with the neighbors. There will be standing doors. They won't be between two spaces, but only the door. And if you put your ear on it, you will listen to some sound. So you could listen to it when you're listening to the door of your neighbors, of somebody else. And so it's 12 doors in the middle of this pine wood, and all the sounds that you will be listening will be done or created by some refugees living in the center close to this village. So the proposal is that each of them will make a, could be a singing, it could be a poetry, it could be a text, it could be a sound creation done of different sound. Everybody will be very free of participating and then to propose something. But the idea is that the people from there, from this village or this small town, will be able to listen to their neighbors in some way. These people which are mostly invisible in the city because they don't have that much of money, so they're mostly in the center waiting for some decision of waiting to be accepted as refugees. And so it's once again an invitation of about listening, And of course, this is like the starting point, but it will probably become something else. It will be probably surprise me in some way. And the idea is to spend there in the refugee center a long time, a few weeks, to talk about them, to share them with the microphones, with the sounds, and to, I mean, I already went there to just present the project. They were very interested. And so the idea is to be living with them and to share this starting point of the project, and then to see how and where we will get. So then the installation will be open at the end of October, and then it's supposed to be a permanent installation. So it will be there for years, and people can go through the tree and listen to some stories or some sounds, and try to to listen to the doors as an entry point to another somebody else's story or places, or just to travel through the listening of the door.
Thank you so much for sharing that project again. Another project that sounds wonderful. And hopefully, I don't know about travels on my end, but hopefully I'll be able to see it online eventually, right?
That yeah, it will be definitely. I mean, as the other project, I will make some documentation and share some recording of them. And we'll making like a small publication too about the project. So we're still working on it, and we still see how it will work with them or not, or what will work. But there will probably be plenty of ways to listen to those doors, even if you're not in the wood in Belgium.
Well, thank you so much, Felix, for again accepting our invitation and for sharing all those wonderful projects and your process, your creative process, and all those wonderful stories. Now, can you tell us where our listeners can find your work and learn more about it?
Well, about my projects, I guess the best way is to go on my website, and which is felixbloom.com. And there is a selected projects, which are around maybe 8 or 10 projects, which are more representative in a way from my work. But then you have a map where you could just travel to and go to different sound recordings, sound pieces, and videos. Of course, on Vimeo too, you can find a lot of videos and find a lot of different things, from a very short video about sound recording and more longer video about like films that have been done, or small documentation of projects. So I would say, on my website and on between video, Vimeo, and maybe SoundCloud too, you could find some sound. And as we already mentioned, freesound.org, which is there, it's mostly recordings, sound recordings. But I try to share the best one, so you could definitely have a listen to all those recordings too.
And we will definitely share that on our website, all those links.
Thank you very much.
Once again, thank you so much, and good luck with all the installations and projects. And I'm looking forward to listening to a new installation. I always have my rumors from the sea and rains of May, so I will continue enjoying that.
Perfect. Many thanks, Violeta. Many thanks, Crazy Birds. And thanks for the invitation.
Thank you so much, Felix.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Crazy Bird Podcast. The Crazy Bird Podcast is hosted by Violeta Kaminska and Matt Van Rijs. Our guest for this episode was Felix Bloom. You can learn more about Felix's work on his website, Spotify, Vimeo, Instagram, and Twitter. We've included those links on our show notes. Our theme music is inspired by Tambourine by French composer François-Joseph Gossec. The improvisation is performed by Agnieszka Kowalik. The sound recording at the end of this episode is a fragment of Felix Bloom's sound installation, Rains of May. The nature recordings were recorded by Violeta Kaminska. This episode was edited and produced by Violeta Kaminska.